Sunday evening, we brought a message on God's calendar. I like that. We expounded on seven holy days are the feast of the Lord from Leviticus chapter 23. And we told you that these seven feasts of the Lord depict the entire redemptive career of our Lord Jesus Christ, all the way from Calvary to the kingdom. We talked about the feast of the Passover, when Jesus became our Passover lamb and was sacrificed for our sins on the cross. We spoke of the feast of unleavened bread, when he was placed in the grave, in the tomb of Joseph, where he remained for 3 days and three nights, and his body did not see corruption. That's the unleavened part of it. And we talked about the Feast of First Fruits. That was when he was raised from the dead the first day. The third day, on the first day of the week. And that was his resurrection. And then the Feast of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. And all these were fulfilled in the spring of the year. Now, on Thursday, September the 9th, 10 days ago, this is the 19th, 10 days ago, the Jews celebrated a holiday called Rosh Hashanah. And I want to thank Brother Bryant for a book on Jewish things that he gave me that really has come in handy. It's really interesting to read and to study. Their Rosh Hashanah began at sundown that day, and Rosh Hashanah means head of the year, head of the year. It's the start of their civil new year. Ours is 2010. Theirs is 5771. And they go back and start with Adam. They're off some, I'm sorry to tell them. But that's the way they counted anyway. It's their year 5771. And, of course, it marks a new beginning. That's the beginning of their civil year. This feast is found in Leviticus 23, verses 23 through 25. And there it reads, in the seventh month, and the first, in the first day of the month. See? The first day of that seventh month shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. Wow. A holy convocation, a blowing of trumpets. Well, when we hear anything about blowing trumpets, we automatically think about the coming of Christ, don't we? The second coming of Christ. And prophetically, this does point forward to the time when Israel is gathered back into their land. It has to do with their gathering. And here's where that comes in. In the Bible, there are two different kinds of trumpets that were used. One was a long silver trumpet made out of silver. And that's described in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 2. They used this one for three purposes. And this kind of reminds me of Navy days, because we had certain signals that they would call out over the loudspeaker on board the ship. You remember those? Did anybody here ever do those?
No, I did a long time ago.
You did a long time ago. All right, you have to, as a sailor, you have to learn these, because they have one for mail call, and they have one for chow time. That's the one you really better learn. And then they got another one, and when general quarters sounds, that means you go to your battle station. You've been assigned a particular place, and you drop whatever you're doing, and you get there. And they've got all kinds of noises that they make that remind you to do certain things or go to certain places. And it's much like the Jews. They had this long silver trumpet, and they had one tune that they would blow on it that would cause all of the people to drop whatever they're doing and assemble together. It was a general assembly call. Everybody was to come. And then, this is in the wilderness, in the context of Numbers. Another blast of that trumpet, a different tune that they played this time, meant for everybody to pack up and let's get going. It was their journeying signal. And then they had yet another one. If the Ammonites or somebody else attacked them somewhere, they would blow that trumpet and the people would know to drop their shovels or whatever they had and pick up their swords or guns and let's go protect ourselves. It was a call to battle. And that's the three times that they would use the silver trumpet. Now, the other trumpet that they have was the shofar. And the shofar was a horn that was made out of from a ram's horn. When I was a boy growing up, we used cow horns. And we'd pick up a cow horn and we'd try to make us a horn, got to where we could blow those horns like that. Well, the Jews had this horn that was a ram's horn. And they would blow that, biblically now and prophetically, that Feast of Trumpets takes us to the sounding of God's trumpet. The Bible tells us that the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. We who are living at that time shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll rise up together with those that are dead in Christ, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. That's the Feast of the Trumpets. We associate it with the rapture of the saints and the resurrection of the dead. Let me read you some scriptures. These are in the Old Testament from the book of Isaiah. Now, a lot of times, you may be more familiar with the New Testament scriptures than you are the Old. A lot of us are. But this sounds kind of New Testament-y when you hear it. In Isaiah, I'm going to select some portions here from chapters 25, 26, and 27. It shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And here's a good one. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. That sounds like resurrection, doesn't it? Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. Talking there about those who died, and dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. That's resurrection, isn't it? Plain and simple. The earth shall cast out the dead. And then he says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. I can think of the Jews reading something like this, and that's instructions for them during the time of the tribulation when the Antichrist is out here trying to kill them all. He said, hide yourself for a little while until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place, that's his second coming, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. In that day ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which are ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. So that's a regathering call by the trumpet, isn't it? They're going to come from Assyria and from Egypt and from other places that they've been scattered, and they're going to come to the holy mount in Jerusalem, and they'll be gathered there by the great trumpet. And he goes on to say, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. That sounds like New Testament, doesn't it? Yeah. And that's in Isaiah. You see, not only the New Testament speaks about the trumpets at the second coming of Christ, but we have 8 Old Testament prophets who refer to them a total of 19 times. And it's all in reference to the day of the Lord. And to us, the day of the Lord is when Jesus is going to come. That's Old Testament. Well, Jesus said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And Paul wrote, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober minded. And then Peter wrote, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. One day the trump shall sound. Now, the second one is today, Sunday, September the 19th, 2010. What's that? The Jews celebrate a holiday that they call Yom Kippur. That's from Leviticus 23, verse 27. It says, also, on the 10th day of the 7th month. See, the first day of the 7th month is the trumpets. The 10th day, 10 days later, we said it was the 9th, and now it's the 19th today. On the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. Now, 10 days after the blowing of the trumpets, we have the Day of Atonement. In the Jewish camp, this is how it's celebrated. Back on the 9th, on the Feast of Trumpets, three books are opened. The first one is the Book of Life for the righteous. The second book is the Book of Life for the unrighteous. And the third book is the Book of Life for the in between. Yes, those who are neither righteous nor unrighteous at that time. Now, if a man is considered righteous on the Feast of Trumpets Day, we're still there now, we're going to get to the Day of Atonement in a minute, but on the Feast of Trumpets Day, if a man is deemed righteous, his name is written in the Book of Life for the righteous. If a man is unrighteous, his name is written in the Book of Life of the unrighteous. If he's on the fence, neither hot nor cold, if he is unbetween, undecided, hasn't made up his mind yet whether he's good or bad, his name is written. Oh, by the way, that I missed something here. The guy whose name is written in the Book of Life of the unrighteous, he will not survive that year. He's supposed to die that year. Now, if a man is in between, judgment is delayed for 10 days. Now, 10 days from the 1st to the 10th day, that's from the Feast of Trumpets to the Day of Atonement, this 10-day period. And his judgment is delayed. Now, during that 10-day period, this in-between man is given an opportunity to repent. Before the Book of Life is closed and his destiny is sealed. Now you think about the application of that. It's quite interesting because there's a trail that you can follow through this. Because when Jesus comes and we are caught up to be with him, and the dead in Christ are raised at the first resurrection, we go up together, there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ where all of the righteous, now only the righteous are going to be raised from the grave. Only the righteous are going to be caught up in the air at the rapture. All of the saints of God, the saved, will be there at the judgment seat of Christ to receive rewards for all of the works that we've done in the flesh. Amen. So we're in the book of life of the righteous. But at the time of the rapture and the first resurrection, when all of the saved, the saints, are taken out, who's going to be left? All of the unsaved. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. That's what we call the tribulation. When the judgment of God comes upon the ungodly world. And there's some scriptures such as Zechariah 12 verses 9 and 10. I'll not take the time to read them tonight, but you can read them at your leisure. Romans 11 verses 25 and 26. Matthew 25 verses 31 through 34. And these verses seem to support the idea or the teaching that during this 7-year tribulation period, there will be a great number of people who will not receive the mark of the beast that the Antichrist causes everybody to receive. There'll be some that will say no, and they'll survive through that, and they will survive the Lord's purging of this earth with the judgments that come. And there will be a multitude who will repent of their sins and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and be saved before the book of life is finally and eternally closed. Now that's the Day of Atonement. Now, on this coming Friday, the 24th of September, there's going to be another Jewish feast. These are the three feasts. They all fall. There's one on the 1st, one on the 10th, one on the 15th. Scripture here, Leviticus 23, verses 33 through 43, cover this. It says, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles. For 7 days unto the Lord. And it says, on the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you. Now the 8th day from September the 24th, that will be October the 1st on our calendar. And that's the feast called Sukkot, S-U-K-K-O-T. We call it the Feast of Tabernacles. It's also called the Feast of Ingathering over in Exodus 23 and verse 16. Now, this comes 5 days after the Day of Atonement, and it lasts for 8 days. 8 days. Now, for the Feast of Tabernacles, the Ingathering, the Jews would build little booths. Many of them would be made out of bulrushes to remind them of their deliverance from Egyptian bondage during the time that they lived in their tents for 40 years in the wilderness in the days of Moses. And they will hang samples of the fall harvest in each family's booth to acknowledge God's faithfulness in providing for His people. Now, so that's 7 days. On the 8th day, this is a special day. That's the 8th and the final day. It's of special significance. That's the time when, picture this, in Jerusalem now, the great high priest in the temple, followed by a procession of priests and, of course, worshipers, a whole multitude. multitude of them would descend from the Temple Mount. The temple was built up on top of a mount. They would descend from that mount and they would go down to the pool of Siloam. Now you may remember that during the ministry of Jesus when he spit in the dust of the ground and from the moisture of his spittle he made a mud pack and put it on the eyes of a blind man and told him to go down to the pool of Siloam and wash. And so he went down to that pool and he washed that from his eyes and he received his sight and he came seeing. So here's the high priest, followed by this great procession of people. They travel down to the pool of Siloam. Now the pool of Siloam is outside Jerusalem, down the hill at the foot of a hill, Ophel, O-P-H-E-L. The pool is kind of like a swimming pool. It's big. It's 52 feet long, 18 feet wide, and 19 feet deep. Now, the high priest would have a golden pitcher in his hand, and he would dip down and fill that golden pitcher with water from the pool of Siloam. Then he would return to the temple, but he would go back a different way from which he had come, take a different route. And when he got back up to the temple, he would take that golden pitcher of water from the pool of Siloam and he would empty it out on the altar at the temple. Now, this ceremony that they went through was intended to invoke God's blessings on the nation by providing them some life-giving rain that they needed in October and November to prepare and ensure them a good spring crop. Now, in John chapter 7, on this feast of ingathering, John writes in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, in the last day, that's that eighth day now, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And many of the people, when they heard this saying, said, this is the Christ. In Bible times, according to Numbers chapter 29, they would offer 70 bulls on the altar as sacrifices. Well, that's a whole herd, isn't it? And those bulls to the Jews represented the nations of the world. And we're told in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9, that these nations of the world will one day acknowledge the one true God. When? The day of tabernacles. The day when Christ comes to establish his kingdom. the nations of the world. There'll be a judgment of the nations, you know. The sheep nations and the goat nations. And the sheep nations will be brought into his kingdom and incorporated into his division of the world in their nations. And the goat ones will be eliminated and done away with. Now, if you were in the synagogue on Sukkot, you would see a palm branch being waved in four directions, north and east and south and west. That signifies that God is not only sovereign over the world, but his sovereignty will be acknowledged by all peoples throughout the four corners of the earth. So the Feast of Trumpets teaches us of the rapture and the first resurrection. And the Day of Atonement teaches us of the day of Israel's salvation, when Paul says, "So all Israel shall be saved." And then the Feast of Tabernacles will mark the beginning of Christ's kingdom here on earth, when he shall rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords for a glorious 1,000 years that we call the Millennial Kingdom. Won't that be wonderful when that day comes? Hey, you that are interested in knowing when the Feast of Trumpets is going to come, look at your calendar. Look at not ours, look at the Jewish calendar. And if Jesus doesn't come on the day of the Feast of Trumpets, he may come on the 4th of July. But listen,
he will come.
What happened? On the feast of the Passover, it was fulfilled, wasn't it? On the very day, that's the day that Jesus was crucified. And then the other three there, even the Feast of Pentecost, he was resurrected on the right day. And the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit didn't come on Christmas Day or on Halloween. He came on the day of Pentecost, didn't he? So, what right do we have to say that when Jesus comes again, that it's not going to be on the Feast of Trumpets? I'm playing with you now. Playing with your mind. But Jesus is coming. And if he wants to come on Thanksgiving, we'll be thankful for it. But doesn't this kind of make you wonder that Jesus might just come on that particular day and fulfill what that feast represents? If it doesn't, then it's just going to be hanging out there in limbo for all eternity. All right. You're a wonderful congregation. Thank you for coming tonight. Let's stand together.